Welcome to Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use, where we talk about things that not only matter on Sunday, but also on Tuesday afternoon when all the coffee is worn off. Today, we're going to be stepping into the room of generosity. If you've been with us as we've talked about these different rooms in God's big, big house, each one of these talks is really a spiritual discipline. And there's a room that God has that we study His Word, we hear His voice. There's a quiet room where we meet with Him in solitude. And today's room is the room of generosity.
Yeah, and I suppose this is a room where we like to peek into, but we don't maybe necessarily want to walk into.
Exactly. I want to be clear right up front. I'm talking first and foremost to people who already know Jesus. Like, if you don't know Jesus yet, we're just exploring this in the scriptures, but this is a part of Christianity, this idea, this room of generosity. And if you don't have generosity in your life, I'm not sure that a spiritual growth really just happens.
Yeah, I mean, I think generosity, though we don't like to think about it this way, it is actually one of those things that pulls on the same part of us that fear and self-protection live in, right? We can be generous if we're not afraid of losing our stuff.
Yeah, Jesus knew that. And he talked about generosity or possessions over and over and over again. And in Matthew 6:21, he says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." He wasn't just talking about economics. He was, I think, in this moment, really discipling people. He was trying to help them to see how possessions can really grab us in a weird way.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting connection between discipleship and the treasures of our heart. I guess you could, what you treasure, what you love. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that there is, you know, if you look at the Pharisees, I mean, they're really good on the outside, right? Like, they were like good givers. They're, you know, they always looked good. You know, they tithe properly. Like, they're even tithing spices, like how much spice they had, they would give. And so they're like really good at this. And Jesus was like, "You're missing the point of all of this. It's really about your heart, like the generosity of your heart. Like, God was generous with you. God has been generous with you. And so this is who you were made to be, because you're created in His image, is to be generous." And so today, what we're going to wrestle with is, are you more concerned about your savings account or your generosity account?
Ouch. Yikes. I mean, that's definitely a heart check, a slap. I don't know what the right word is. Yeah.
Yeah, and if I'm honest, I think there's more days where I'm worried about my savings account, and I don't think it's wrong to have one of those, right? In fact, I think it's wise. Dave Ramsey talks a lot about that, and I think he's right in most of the things that he says in when it comes to money. But if I'm never concerned about generosity, or like what I'm like, God has given me this abundance, I can give away. God is an abundant giver, and to be like Him, I have to give. Then there's something off in my discipleship.
Yeah, right. So the question isn't, do I have a savings account, right? The question, it's also, do I have a generosity account?
Yeah. In Matthew 6:19-24, Jesus gives really two perspectives. One is money as a tool that really honors God. And then the other one is money as a commodity for self-gain. And there's really only two ways to look at those things. Maybe we should just read that passage of scripture. Sure. Do you have it?
I actually don't.
Well, it says this in Matthew 6:19-24. It says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on this earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money.
Are there always just, I mean, is it always one or the other?
Yeah, I think so, right? Like, I think that it's what you cling to. Like, what do you cling to for your security? And I think when he's like the vermin and the moth and all of those things that we're holding on to, we're going, man, this is really my security. And God's going, no, that stuff is going to rust. It's going to, you know, like our cars here in the UP, we get like a 6-year lifespan out of them, right? But he's saying, you store up like this heart of generosity, because it's a part of the discipleship, like, process, because he ends it in a really interesting way. He says, you can't serve two masters. You're going to love one and you're going to despise the other, and you can't serve both me and money. And so money's not wrong, but it is a tool. Money is not just a commodity of self-gain. And what I mean by that is, if it's that for you, when you feel philanthropic and you give what we call charitable giving, you're going, well, it's gone, but I feel good about myself. And there's even a gain in that. But really, your life is filled with scarcity and greed, because really you're going, hey, I really do need this. I can maybe spare just a little over here, because your provider is your money, not the one who actually gave it to you, who is God.
Hey, do you think that's greedy? I mean, nobody wants to think of themselves as greedy. And what you're describing is a way of thinking about money that looks like giving away philanthropy, but actually is a little bit greedy.
Yeah, I think that there is a natural human condition. If you think about when you came out of the womb, I don't...
I mean, I have really murky memories about that.
Everything was about you, right?
Oh,
you
were sure. Totally, babies are the most selfish.
Yeah, it's all about you.
That's what Augustine says.
Right?
Right.
Your hands are clenched. You're not giving anything. You're just coming in and people are saying you're cute. And that's somewhat normal. But I think if you hold on to that clenched fist type of reality, you're missing kind of the point of who God is. And now, I don't expect a baby to be open-handed, right? But I think they're born into this world being pretty selfish. And I think we continue that pattern unless we understand who God is, the one who actually created us. Colossians 1:16 says all things were created through him and for him. And that includes my bank account, my paycheck, and all my stuff.
Yeah, that's a lot of stuff for it to be included there in the all things.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And generosity, I don't think it's just an idea that God came up with. Like, let's see if they're generous, right? I don't know why I gave him that voice. Yeah, but
that's
what
I was laughing at.
Yeah. But it's really actually a picture of who he is.
What do you mean by that?
Well, think about the garden. From the Garden of Eden, he says, he creates a whole world, and he goes to the people, hey, this is all yours. Everything. And they didn't even have to work. Can you imagine that? That four-letter word just gone.
Yeah.
They didn't have to work. It just like thrived. It just thrived for them and for their existence and for their provision, all by God's hands. And then he says, hey, but you know what? You can have all of this, but there's this tree over here, just this one tree. That's mine. It's kind of a tithe. Like, I've given you all of this, but hey, this one is mine.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a unique perspective on the garden and what God gave them. But I think, you know, from the garden all the way to the end, God has been modeling and is incredibly generous. Right? The really famous passage of scripture that comes to mind is John 3:16, right? That says, for God so loved the world that he gave. And his love seems to be regularly expressed in, like, he's the God who gives all that he can.
Oh, yeah. Like, Ephesians talks about it. He lavished his grace on us.
I like that word.
That word's a weird word. It's
I
like,
love that word.
Well, it reminds me of like making biscuits and gravy.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And my kids are not like when I make that, they love it. But they're not like, give me a little dollop of the gravy. They're like, lavish that on.
They were like Buddy the Elf and his, what is it?
Syrup.
Syrup, yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And it's not like a little sprinkle of grace. It's not like just a little bit. But God just like lavishes it on us. He just gives it all to it because he's a giver.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really beautiful word. The interesting thing is that there is a thing in the garden that he holds back. And that's curious to me. Is that a model? I mean, is that where you're going? Like, what do we learn from what God holds back in the garden?
I think it's just a reminder. I don't think he had to hold anything back, but he wanted them to continue to remember that it is all his by him. It was created through him and for him, and it's all his, and he gives it. Like, he gives the whole world to humanity. And then, like, how much more could he give? He gives his one and only son. Like, we think about money, and he goes, no, no, no. Like, I want to show you, I want to give you an example of something that's much larger, much greater. Like, to give your one and only son to go onto the cross to die for these people who are really rebels, running away from him with clenched hands, not generous, not living out the life they're supposed to. And he goes, no, I'm gonna do this for them because I love them this much, and I want them to see this, and I want them to experience this, and I want them to live this.
Well, yeah, and so God, right, God the Father shows us his love in what he gives, but Jesus also he's the one who actually gives his life of his own accord.
Right.
And so I think that
it's consistent in the yeah, Trinity, right?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, Jesus, he addresses this idea of giving right alongside prayer and fasting. And not as optional extras, but as core practices. It's a spiritual discipline. And you see this on the Sermon on the Mount. It's just there. It's very clear. He talks to the Pharisees about this.
I'm just thinking about the rooms, right? You've been walking us through the rooms mm-hmm. of the house of God. And this is a weird room, right? In the study, we go and we receive. And in the dining room, we go and we feast. But in the room of giving, we go and we give what's in there. I think that's an interesting room.
Yeah, but it's a giving so that there is a change. You still get.
Right.
There's like this incredible blessing of going, man, God, you are my provider. You are the one who sustains me. You are the one who is above all things, and all things were made through you and by you. And it's actually an incredible movement of discipleship in our hearts to really go, I really trust your promises, God.
But yeah, so when we give generously, we're being shaped into the likeness of Jesus, the Jesus who said, not my will, but yours, and carried the will of God and the promises of God to their, you know, fulfillment.
Yeah, and I think to get into that room, you have to open your hands. You can try to get into it, right? Like, you can write a check without loving God.
Oh, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
You can write a check without going, man, God loves me and I love him. And this is just, I trust him and I believe in him. You can write a check without having any of that. But 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that you can do that. But if you do not have love, that actual giving and changing and generosity of heart, it's just not there. And because love always expresses itself in giving.
Well, what's the difference between the person who writes the check but doesn't love and loves and writes the check? Like, what's the difference? I mean, the check has still been written.
Because it's about the heart.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the same thing. Because the Pharisees did it, right?
Right.
They did it probably pretty well, right? Because they wanted everyone to see. Mm-hmm. But it just reminds me of the story, the widow's mite, where she gave just like this little bit of money because that's all she had. And all of these other people are coming with big wads of cash and going, wa-boom, and doing a little dance.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, that's how they did it. They like danced up to the altar like and threw their cash in, and everyone saw. And it was like a thing for them, but it was really like, what were they trying to get? Like the applause of men. And this little widow goes in and doop, and really, like percentage-wise of income, she did give more than all of them. And that's what Jesus talks about in there, is like, she gave more and she did it quietly. There wasn't a big dance. She just, man, I believe that you will provide. I believe that you are the one. I believe that this is all yours in this. And so I think generosity is really an evidence of following Jesus.
Well, yeah, generosity of all of the things, right? If all of the things are from God, right? Then it's generosity of money is the primary thing we're talking about here. But it's all of the things, right? Time and energy and resources, yep, of all different kinds.
Well, you see that in two stories that kind of run back to back to each other. In Luke 18 and then Luke 19, one story is Zacchaeus. He was a wee little man.
Yeah, I like that story.
And Jesus comes to him. And it's a really interesting story because Jesus comes to his house. They have lunch together. And Zacchaeus, this experience with Jesus is so incredible to him. And he was a tax collector, hated by all, but very wealthy. He was like the chief tax collector. So he's probably taken in a little bit from all over the place. He's got many sources of this. And he says, man, I'm going to give half of my money away. And if I cheated anybody, I'm going to give four times. And then Jesus' response is so bizarre. Do you remember his response?
I don't remember.
Salvation has come to this house. Hmm. It's a picture of what, like, him giving his money away wasn't where salvation came. Salvation came through Jesus. But it was a picture of his heart change. It was a picture of generosity. And then in 19, you have this rich young ruler.
Right, and he's got a very different reaction.
Well, he also was like a much better dude, right? Like, mm-hmm, on the surface.
Yeah.
Like, and he had everything. He had money. He had youth. He had power. He had everything. And Jesus sees his heart. And Jesus simply says, hey, go sell everything and give it away. And this text tells us that he walked away sad. He didn't do it. Randy Elkhorn says, just as Jesus gauged Zacchaeus' true spiritual condition by his willingness to part with his money, he also gauged the rich young ruler's condition by his unwillingness. And there was a section of his heart that was unwilling to believe that God could provide, that was unwilling to believe that it was already all his.
Yeah, and I think that what's beautiful here is that Jesus doesn't ask everybody to sell everything. But no, he does, I think, ask everyone to put him on the throne of their heart. And maybe if we think about it, it's easy to think about the things that you might sell. Like the rich young ruler and Zacchaeus, they have such a really descriptive pictures for us of what this might look like. But there's probably a thing that we're all holding on to that Jesus is saying, hey, give it up, man. Right?
Yeah. And I think when we do, it breaks the grip of materialism, because that will never satisfy. It's never going to satisfy us. We can only find what God has offered in this room and what God wants for us in this life through generosity, through opening our hands.
Well, yeah, so here's the good news, I suppose. Generosity doesn't actually make you poorer, right? You would think Zacchaeus, so, you know, he gives back all the money and it doesn't make him poorer. It makes him freer.
Right. And I don't know if it's really about like the size of the gift as much as it is about the size of your trust in God. And so a large gift that actually is a sacrifice is really a trust in God. But you could give a small gift and that may be like, you know, you gave $10 and man, you only had $20 and you're like, that's like 50% of what you have. And yet it's like, man, I'm going to distrust you in this, God. I'm just going to trust you.
Well, yeah. And when you give, you're saying, God, I trust your provision more than my possessions or more than what I can do.
Yeah. So here's the challenge for the week. Do one intentional act of generosity. Make it something you can actually feel. You know, just give. You know, some people will say, well, it's time. And some people will say it's those things. I think those are a part of it, like our time and our talents, those are a part of it. But I think the biggest one that we get caught up in, because we be Americans, is financial. And so I want to just challenge you. Give some away.
Yeah, well, that's good news you can use. Thanks for tuning in with us. If you got questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. You can email those to office@evangelup.org. If you'd like to catch up on any of the previous Pearls and Swine episodes, just search Evangel Houghton on your preferred podcast platform or go to our website, evangelup.org.